We're going to read a few verses tonight in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, commencing at verse 14. With God's Word open before us, we'll bow for a moment's prayer. Let us all pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, still us now in Thy presence. Open Thy Word to our understanding. Open our hearts to the Word of God. And, O Lord, we pray that tonight there will be miracles of grace in needy souls for Jesus' sake. Amen. Verse 14 of Luke chapter 11. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, He casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. And others, tempting him, sought of him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falleth. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because ye say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub. But if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoil. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. And finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. The last state of that man is worse than the first. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 20 of Luke chapter 11, If I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. Now this should have been wonderful news for the Jews. For centuries the Jewish people had been longing and looking forward to the coming of the Messiah, their true king. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them in effect, See what I am doing. If you look at all the Old Testament prophecies of the king and his kingdom, the mark of the king and his kingdom is the power of God, both destructive and constructive, to destroy the powers of hell and darkness, and constructively to bless needy people. Now, the Jews had always looked forward to that as a great worldwide empire, and indeed there's much that the New Testament says that ultimately that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to set up when he comes again. But first of all, he says, look at what I am doing. This is the finger of God. As I heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, I am invading the strongholds of darkness with invincible power, and I am setting prisoners free. You are seeing the destructive and constructive power that the Word of God tells us is the mark of the king and his kingdom. So the Lord Jesus was saying, in effect, this is the great mark. It's not the pomp or even the military prowess, but the spiritual power. In other words, he was saying the king cannot rule over man and the world until he has conquered sin and Satan. Jesus said, in effect, this is what I am doing. This is the finger of God. Now that was good news. And yet it wasn't good news for many people. For they didn't want to be set at liberty. They were so entrenched in what they were doing. They were so in bondage to their sin, and they loved it so much, they did not want the liberty that Christ the King was talking about. You remember in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, the story of the man who's called the demoniac of Gadara? This was a man so possessed of demonic power that he scared the entire neighborhood. They were so scared of him, they put him in chains. And he broke the chains. He wandered about a lost soul, a deranged soul, a madman, a bad man, estranged from his own family, a threat to the whole neighborhood. He lived naked among the graves. And you could just see what that would do in a rural community. The fear that that would engender. Think of what parents would say to their little ones. Think of the care with which they would guard them, knowing that this fellow was out there on the loose. Then there came a day when Jesus came, and in a moment's time he healed him, he changed him, he saved him, he delivered him. And in one of the mightiest statements, not only in the Bible, but in all recorded history, we find this company of people from round about. They came out to where Jesus was, and they found this madman, this bad man, this possessed man sitting. They'd never seen that in years. Clothed. They hadn't seen that either. And in his right mind. Wouldn't you say that was good news? Wouldn't you say that the company would say, this is wonderful, let's keep this Messiah, let's keep this miracle worker, let's keep this Jesus. The very opposite happened. They looked at this man, totally changed, and because the price of that was losing their pigs, which they shouldn't have had in the first place, they said, leave us. Get out of our coasts. In other words, the good news wasn't so good at all. They didn't want the liberty he offered. Some of these people were so addicted, they said to Jesus, you cast out devils by the prince of devils. Well, the answer to that was very, very simple. The Lord Jesus gave it. Do you think that Satan's a bigger fool than you are? Do you think that Satan's a big enough fool to divide his own kingdom? Do you think that Satan's casting out Satan? Do you think that Satan's fighting Satan? Anything Satan does is to build up his kingdom, not to wreck it. No, the only kingdom that can overthrow Satan's dominion is the kingdom of God. We heard Tony's testimony tonight. What could break the power of sin? Not religion. Not becoming a good Catholic. And by the way, it would have been the same if he'd been a Presbyterian, not becoming a good Presbyterian. Or a good Baptist, or a good anything. The only kingdom that can overthrow the kingdom of darkness is the kingdom of God's dear Son. The only king who can cast down satanic power is the long-awaited Messiah. So the Lord Jesus says, in effect, behold the finger of God. And realize that the king has come. And that's what I want you to understand tonight. The king has come. with great power to deliver souls from the bondage of Satan and sin. You know, the Lord Jesus describes Satan's awful dominion over the souls of men. We have a picture here of a strong man. Actually, the original text simply calls him the strong one. And he's sitting in his house, and he treats it as a palace, and he has his goods all around him. He's armed to the teeth. He's full of strength and power, and he's keeping all that he has in great bondage. That's a picture, you know, that takes us behind the scenes. That's something the newspapers will never tell you. Something the politicians will never tell you. Sadly, it's something that even most preachers won't tell you. Brings you into the mysterious world that lies behind human activity. We see what men do. You hear this all the time. Why would a person who has everything to live for, why would a person who's got entrance into a prestigious university and he's got everything he needs apparently in life, why would he go in and blow half the class away with a gun? Why would he do it? Why would a couple down in Florida, why would they know that a little 8-year-old girl is being held a prisoner and tormented and abused and molested and killed and buried? Do nothing about it and cover up for the murderer. Why would they do things like that? We have reports of what people do. And certainly there is the depravity of the human heart involved there. But the Lord Jesus gives you an insight here into why they do them. You see, men are not the free beings that they think they are. Men talk about their free will and this is the land of the free. Don't you believe it? Maybe the land of political freedom and freedom of speech and all that, but this country is full of people who are in bondage just as every other country is. This is the real truth. Jesus Christ is saying what Paul later told the Ephesians. Men are dead spiritually toward God. And in them the prince of the power of the air is working. He's energizing and he's holding them in his control. That's the picture the Savior gives. In other words, he's saying there is a dark kingdom of evil and of wickedness that holds the world under its sway. That's the awful picture the Savior paints. And I want to tell you, that's the state into which you were born. If you're not saved tonight, that's the place where you are. And I don't care if you're Roman Catholic, or if you're Protestant, if you're Baptist or Presbyterian, if you're baptized or unbaptized, if you're without Christ, that's the place where you are. In Christ's ministry, there were the obvious cases, just as there are today. We've talked about the demoniac of Gadara. We've read here about this man who was possessed of a devil. Those are obvious cases. Possession of Satan, and I speak with some experience here, is something that is dark and wicked and evil and filthy and perverse. Obvious cases. There's your answer, you know, to an awful lot that's going on in the world today. Maybe simplistic for many. We're living in a day when people don't want to believe there's such a thing as evil. One of the great apologists for the Christian faith today was speaking in Oxford University a few years ago, and they were having a debate, and the learned young men of Oxford, and the learned young women wouldn't even agree that there's such a thing as evil. And so the visiting speaker said to them, I want you to think of this, and of course it doesn't take too much of a stretch of the imagination in the day in which we live. He says, I want you to think that a man breaks into your home. He murders your parents. He rapes your sister and then he kills her. He steals your goods. Is that evil? Most of them forgot their philosophy and said, yeah, we'd have to say that's evil. But one young fellow said, well, I wouldn't like it but I couldn't say it's evil. You know, anybody who says that, number one, is a liar. Number two, is deliberately fooling himself. This is sin. Those are obvious cases. You can say, yeah, that's the kingdom of darkness. But then you sit back and say, well, thank God, that's not where I am. Ah, I'm not a crack cocaine addict. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a murderer. I'm not possessed. I'm not in that camp. Thank God I'm not there. Well, if you're not there, I do thank God that you're not there. But then there were the less obvious cases. Do you realize that the Lord Jesus went on to talk about another case? And he was deliberately speaking to the religious Jews who were not in that case of the open subjects of the kingdom of darkness. Their house is swept and garnished. It looks wonderful. They're clean living. They're church going. They're religious. They're good. Jesus said, don't you believe it. Don't believe it for a moment. They're still in the same kingdom. You see, this is the reality. Every man born into this world is born into a dark and awful dominion of Satan and sin. But the Lord Jesus demonstrates his power to deliver all who are held by Satan and sin. I've talked about the strong one. Well, there's a stronger one. The literal force of verse 22, when a stronger than he shall come, when the stronger one shall come. He is the stronger one. He's the one through whom the finger of God, which means the intervention of God's hand with power, he's the one through whom the finger of God alone operates. You see, there's no other person in the world can save a soul but Jesus Christ. There's no other one can take you out of the kingdom of darkness but Jesus Christ. Religion can take you from one compartment of the kingdom of darkness and put you in another. Psychological counseling can take you from one compartment and put you in another. But it can't take you out of that kingdom. There's only one person in all the world can do that. There's only one power in all the world can do that. The person is Christ. You see, there's power in his person. Why? Because of who he is. He is God manifested in the flesh. He's not your run-of-the-mill man claiming to be a prophet. He is the Son of God. There's power not only in his person, but in his blood. He has shed his blood, a sacrifice of atonement, to satisfy the wrath of God and put away the guilt of man. He died the just for the unjust. And there's power in his resurrection life. For having died, he rose again. And Paul the Apostle asked this question, if we are reconciled to God by his death, how much more will we continue to be saved by his life, his resurrection life? He's a living Savior. You see, I find when I talk to people, they're fed up with church. And I can understand that. I was talking to a couple today, talking about the deadness of their church. Just fed up with deadness of church. You go and there's nothing there to relate to me. There's nothing there to meet my need. Nothing real. Dead religion. Well, I have news for you. I don't have any time for it either. But you see, Christ is not religion. Christ is not dead. Christ is a living, personal Savior. I want you to understand that. That's the heart of the gospel. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. And because he lives, he has that power to deliver. We have heard one testimony tonight. If you wanted to stay here through midnight and beyond, I could get one person after another from every kind of background, religious, and irreligious. People who have never taken a sip of booze in their life, to people who were enslaved by alcohol. People who had never done illicit drugs in their life, to people who were enslaved by drugs. People who walked the clean side of the street, people who walked the rotten side of the street. And they could all come together and tell you, Jesus saves. He set me free. He's a living Christ. Now that's good news. But is it? You know, today there are people who are still doing the same thing they did in Christ's day. And what they're saying is, maybe good news, but we don't want to hear it. Maybe when I'm dying, come and tell me. Maybe when I'm within a heartbeat or a gasp of a lost eternity, then come and tell me. But I don't really want to hear it now. But now's the time you need to hear it. For tomorrow could be too late. You know, the Scottish and, of course, the Northern Irish, and I'm from Northern Ireland, the Northern Irish people are really transplanted Scots. So we have a great affinity. The Scottish people are what are called a canny people. They're cautious, and they're nobody's fools. One of Scotland's great preachers was a man by the name of Thomas Chalmers. One of the greatest theologians, orators, social reformers, church leaders, gospel preachers in the world of his day or any other day. A woman came to Dr. Chalmers one day and she said, Dr. Chalmers, I have a problem. My teenage daughter doesn't want to hear anything about the gospel. She believes it all, but she doesn't want to hear anything about it. She doesn't want to be faced with her need of Christ. She'd, like many teenagers, just deciding she wanted to be a bit wild. Maybe some of you can relate to that. And Chalmers said, leave her to me. I'm going to talk to her. He knew, of course, the young girl he was talking to. He said, I hear your mother's been getting on to you about your need of Christ. She says she has. Well, I think I'll be a good thing maybe for me to tell her just to lay off you for a year. And for a moment, the girl looked at him, and then it suddenly dawned. She said, well, that might be a bit long. I could be dead in a year. And he said, well, 6 months then. And she was about to say yes, and she said, well, of course, 6 months I could be gone too, couldn't I? Well, let's leave it for a month then. And the little girl understood exactly what the great preacher was saying. And she said, Dr. Chalmers, I need Christ today. I need Christ today. So do you. Do you treat this good news as good news? As you think of that, I want you to consider one last thing. I'm talking about Christ the King. And the King comes and he demands your submission in repentance and faith. He demands that immediately. And in demanding that, he declares there's no neutrality. Notice what he said in verse 23. He that is not with me is against me. In other words, he's saying you cannot face me. You cannot hear my gospel. You cannot hear what I have to say and walk away saying, well, I'm not for him. I'm not against him. I'm not receiving him. I'm not rejecting him. I'm not crowning him as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not denying him. You can't do that. You're either for me or you're against me. You see, there's a red line, and the red is the redness of the blood of Christ that runs through all the world. You're saved or you're lost. You're justified or you're condemned. You're reconciled to God or you're alienated from God. You're in Christ or you're without Christ. You're on the way to heaven or you're on the way to hell. You're right with God, or you're all wrong with God. You're for Christ, or you're against Him. It's one or the other. No neutrality. And Jesus says, He's demanding, as the King, you bow the knee, receive the liberty that Jesus Christ alone can give, the pardon He alone can impart, the life that is found solely in Him. Good news? Sure, it's good news. But is it good news that you personally have received? If not, is it good news tonight? You will receive. Like that young Scots girl. Tonight, I must get to Christ. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word to every heart. And we pray that this night Thou wilt write it so indelibly upon the heart that nothing of the world will be able to erase it. But that this night, knowing their need of Christ, precious souls will seek Him. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bring young people, older people, into Christ, to bow the knee in humble submission, to welcome Him as Lord and Savior and King. As our heads are bowed, let me say to you before we have our closing hymn. If you're not saved, you need Christ. He's the one. He's the only one. And we invite you to Him. I am here as your servant for Christ's sake. I'd be happy to open the Bible with you and point you to Christ, or if you'd like some gospel literature, without any pressure from me or anybody else, we'd be glad to let you have that literature. It's yours to take, that you may read, consider, and hasten to Christ. We're here to help you. May the Lord bless His word to your heart. Lord, do bless Thy word and give fruit for it. May there be indeed rejoicing in heaven over souls who repent and receive the Savior tonight. Bring many out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.